Get social with Sweetgrass and Saguaro.
Shelby is a social media and branding specialist. Seriously, you guys, she is a queen. And if you check out www.horsepoorpodcast.com, you can see the website she custom made for us.
She also offers brand coaching, website design, content creation, platform management.
And she puts her whole heart into everything she does. Her motto is building genuine relationships through authentic content.
Honestly, she will get to know you and your company through and through and truly finds what represents you as a brand.
And if we've learned anything from 2020, business and life is moving more and more online, so Shelby can help you take it to the top in that department.
For sure. You can find her at Sweetgrass and Saguaro on Facebook and Instagram. And her website
is sweetgrassandsaguaro.com.
Thank you, Shelby, for your support.
And thank you for being the presenting sponsor of this episode.
Can you guys believe it's been a year? It's crazy.
Crazy year. Crazy.
Yeah. What a year it's been.
Well, welcome to the Horse Poor Podcast. And if you have been with us this whole year, thank you so much for listening and tuning in and being on this ride with us. So I am your host, Nadine.
I'm Steph.
And I am Stevie.
And we make up the Horse Poor Podcast. We did not think we'd be here. Like, what did you guys think we'd be doing right now? Like, honestly,
did you think we were going to quit? Early?
No, but I didn't know we would be
now
like,
the truth comes out.
I didn't know that it was going to be like as grow as much as it did.
Yeah,
you know, that's
like,
true.
Like, who would have thunk that we're here with like a website and a merch line and like lots of listeners? Like, it's actually crazy. Like, we'd be nothing without like our supporters, so another thank you to them. But yeah, mm-hmm. I am surprised we're sitting in the same spot as we did a year ago. Like, even when we were sitting in the front entrance doing pictures today, I'm like, wow, I was wearing my disco outfit here.
Oh yeah, was that our photo shoot?
The Shania Twain rap album.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
My cousin from Grand Prairie actually texted me because she has this one friend that like went to beauty school in Vegas, and she's like very glitzy glam, and and she's like, oh my god, she's like, your friend Nadine like reminds me so much of Lexi. She's like, she can just wear anything and like rock it and make it look hot.
You're like confident in it, you know.
I wore it to a wedding once.
Oh my god.
Yeah
See, I could never do that.
Oh man, I like to take risks, I guess. I don't know.
So we figured since this year is coming to an end, we would just do a wrap-up episode and kind of sum up the year and just maybe chit-chat with the three hosts here about, mm-hmm. you know, some things in the past and where we're going in the future.
Some cringeworthy moments.
Like we always like to do.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, we did start this podcast in Steph's basement. And now we're doing it on the main floor of Steph's house.
Yeah, at the kitchen table.
Yeah, so we're very special. We progressed for sure in that sense.
But we have done the podcast in a lot of different places. Like right now mm-hmm. we're at Stevie's. Sometimes we're at my place.
Yeah.
Have we recorded at your place?
We've never recorded at my place. No.
I think we did once.
No.
Did we once?
We did pictures there just once and that was it.
Oh, maybe I'm just thinking of sitting at your table eating chicken soup.
Oh, I made turkey noodle soup that
turkey
day.
Turkey soup. Yes.
Right. Mm. Yes. So we are pretty mobile and we've done it on the road a few times too, which mm-hmm. was which yeah. is pretty cool.
Yeah. We are dedicated to this show.
Apparently we are.
Has there been one day where we haven't been talking about the podcast?
No.
Probably not.
But we think every single day.
They are lit. But we did tell each other, like, I think it was like probably like 5 or 6 months ago, we're like, hey, we're going to take Sundays off and we're not going to talk on Sundays.
Did we tell each other that?
We did.
We did.
Yeah.
I don't think one day.
Not one day. Not one day.
Not one
I remember
Sunday.
There was one day where it was like super like no one was talking very much. And I'm like, I could cut the tension in the air with a knife. There was no tension. It was just weird.
It is weird.
Weird that we weren't chatting.
Yeah. So we just kind of wanted to take a minute and just talk about maybe our stats and stuff. So mm-hmm. we're at 63,200 all-time downloads. And I'm like thinking of like my town, Lac La Biche, there's about 5,000 people there. And it's like, whoa, that's like more than 10 times the people that are in my small town.
have downloaded episodes. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. In the last 7 days, like 1,891, like we've been growing so much. Like our first episode, it took a really long time for it to hit 1,000 downloads. And
yeah.
So it's pretty cool. Even that day that we posted a story and asked like where in the world their listeners are, like I can't believe mm-hmm. how many people were like mm-hmm. so far away, like even like Switzerland and Australia, like that's yeah. cool.
We have 5 in New Zealand, 5 in United Kingdom, 5 in Germany, 18 downloaders in Australia, 1,276 from the States, and 2,239 from Canada.
Well, hello from all over the world.
mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. 1 from Ireland, 1 from Vietnam. What? Yep.
What? That is like, cool.
How do those people find us?
I don't know.
But we're very happy you did. So hello, and reach out to us on social media because we would love to like chat with you a little bit about maybe what kind of barrel racing or performance horse stuff that you have there.
Oh my goodness, you guys. Right? There's a barrel race. Oh, it's somewhere in Europe, I think.
Is it on the ocean?
Is it in France on the ocean?
Oh, I saw that. Italy or something. Yeah, something.
It's somewhere over there and I'm like... It's my goal to go there.
So if any of our listeners are in Italy, house us when that jackpot's going on.
And hopefully they have extra barrel horses.
Have extra barrel horses. We'll come.
Okay.
As long as you send me a criminal record check.
And yeah, there's pizza and pasta also. So we'll be double in.
Yeah.
And a wine.
Oh my goodness.
Totally.
That would be a dream come true for me.
So speaking of our listeners, I feel like the one thing people come up and ask me the most is how much money does this podcast make you? And it's like, I don't know. Well, guess what? It's zero.
Okay, seriously, who asked you that?
Lots of people ask me that. Literally.
I think a lot of people have asked that too. Yeah. Oh, you guys make some good money with that podcast? Like, you guys really did it, Hayden.
It's not a get rich quick scheme.
No. But...
So the answer to that question
is zero.
Well, I mean,
negative.
Like,
yeah,
I think we're starting to gain a little traction and a little
we
bit.
Are.
There's advertising opportunities for mm-hmm. people, and I think they're starting to see that. And we mm-hmm.
you
we
gotta
have been
make
lucky.
Money to spend money or
that too.
you gotta spend money to make money.
Yes,
and we have
and
done that.
Still in the spending stages.
We are.
That's actually a perfect way to sum it up.
Yeah.
But so, we still enjoy it.
Yes, we do. Like,
don't
how do we
guys.
Not? Like,
we must.
We're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. The best part is, like, it's almost like an individual clinic with every single one of these guests. So, mm-hmm. yeah, like, we've said this in the past before, we'd be nothing without our guests. So thank you again for all of you guys believing in us and sharing on your... Okay, that's a word.
No, you said believing.
Believing.
It's just believing.
Believing?
Yeah.
Believing.
Like, believing.
No. Try saying it. It feels so good to say it.
Believing. It's cool, yeah. But it's not a word.
Steph,
Google it.
I did Google it. I know it's not a word, but it's a word. Whatever. But yes, thank you for sharing on your page. Everyone's laughing at me. So
we love you, Nadine.
We're going to get into the next section. Okay. Well, we kind of wanted to treat this episode maybe as like how we treat our guests on the show as each other. So we kind of want to ask some questions. So Steph H is in the hot seat.
Uh-oh.
First. Are you nervous?
No.
So what does it feel like to come on the Horse Power podcast as a guest?
I'm actually really excited.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what does your training program look like? You have quite a few young horses as well as horses that are seasoned. Well, one horse that's seasoned, and then you have some babies growing up. So what's it going to be like when they start going on the pattern or how you start to break them?
Well, we might get into this a little bit later, but like my horse training experience such as Nadine's and Stevie's was maybe not off to the best start at the very beginning. And yeah, ended up with some good injuries. So I'm a little gun shy. So definitely anything will be started at least 30 days. And mm-hmm. if they're not like, you know, pretty quiet and trustworthy after that, maybe even a little bit more just because I'm not into the funny business.
No, and it's really good to know your limit like that too. Like yeah. you don't want to, like you
and
could.
And if you're nervous, your horse gets nervous and then mm-hmm. you got to feel confident, or at least I feel like I need to feel confident with them to take them home and go for a little ride, you like, know, and not be nervous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, you're an amazing rider. Like you could totally start a horse if you wanted to. Oh, but like you said, like if you're not fully committed to be confident, confident on them, mm-hmm. they know that. And they're like, whoa, why is she nervous? Like, yeah, should I be nervous? Yeah,
feed off that.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So
after that, like, I feel like I'm fully capable of, like, finessing, putting the buttons on, yes, getting them to move over and get soft everywhere kind of thing. So, yeah, I do quite a bit of that stuff, just making sure they're super soft. Right now I have Barbie and Ray boarded. With Ray, like, I really need to work on her engaging her core and her back muscles to keep them strong, because that's kind of her weakness. And so, like, today I seen something on Cooped Up Barrel Racers. Ooh. Where you're round penning or, like, lunging with the tie down, like, just to work them with their head low. Mm-hmm. And their,
it's really nice to bit them up like that. I saw that,
but,
like,
without the bit, just with the tie
down. Oh, with the tie down. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So explain that a little bit.
So, well, I think it's better done in a round pen. Props. Because you just take the tie down and you, like, hook it up, like, underneath the cinch. But I have, like, an English surcingle.
Yeah.
Then you can hook side reins up too, do mm-hmm. whatever you want. So I just did it underneath to the bottom of the surcingle.
Nice.
And just, like, yeah, just works them with their head a little bit lower, and they're not on the bit too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah. She's kind of given to the pressure that's not the bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That probably makes her a lot softer in the
So we'll see. Yeah. But yeah, her back's kind of her weakness, so we're just doing a lot of that stuff, backing up. Yes. Trot poles and whatnot while I'm in the arena, and it is snowing, so hopefully after doing a couple weeks of that, I can ride outside in the snow here. Yeah. Just to keep them in shape and
nice.
Call to an arena when I can.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like they can still stay open, just do private time slots. Yeah. Which, hey, that works good for me anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's gonna be my program until we hear that actual barrel racing can go forward. But as for barrels, like, even though Ray's seasoned, she's still, I feel like we need to work on things all the time. Like, she's mm-hmm. a pretty turny horse.
Yeah.
So I like to keep her, like, really soft, kind of moving off the barrels, do big barrels, you know, just stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like, she's not.
I don't know. I think every horse needs work.
Yeah. Every horse does need work.
There's a few strange ones that don't, but.
Yeah. Most of them do. So, yeah, no, I still find that even though new versus seasoned, I do a lot of the same mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, like, going back and practicing wool, you know,
that's a
like
big
on a seasoned horse. Like, you know, one day you just really work on wool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about your injuries.
I really went on about that.
No, that's good. Give us all your information.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So speaking of me, like, being not good at starting horses.
Yeah. You've had a few broken bones, we hear.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I have had quite the broken bones. Actually, my whole left side. So I've broken my femur.
Ugh, your whole left side. Oh my
God. I've had so I have, like, a 6-inch scar on my left hip. Fractured my hip, I broke my femur, and there's, like, some kind of ball that connects your hip and your femur, and I crushed that too.
What do you get stepped on by an elephant?
A horse that I broke. It blocked me off. That's why I don't like
that you broke
skills. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
What horse was that?
His name is Coco.
Coco.
He was part thoroughbred, and he was
how
black.
Old was he?
I think he was 6 at that time, but honestly, I broke him as a 2-year-old at the English barn, and he was good. Well, he was never really good. He was always kind of a bit of a loose cannon, especially outdoors. He was just a little bit more of an a-hole. And we were practicing barrels, and I was, like, going on my way home, and he just went into bucking, just, you know, typical on the way home type deal. But the ground was pretty hard, and he was big. He was, like, 16 hands.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just flew off, and that's how that happened.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happened after that? Did you have to get airlifted or go for surgery?
I did. Yes. So, Mom wanted to call the ambulance. She was freaking out. Dad wanted to shoot the horse. I'm surprised that he didn't. But they figured it would take too long. So they actually just, like, skidded me onto a piece of plywood and, like, put me in the back of the Yukon and took me to the hospital. Yep.
Very Alberton.
Yep. I was screaming the whole way, I think.
I was going to say.
I was like, don't touch me. Don't lift me up. But they did it anyways.
Oh.
Got me to the hospital. They definitely got me on some good drugs right away because it went pretty blurry. But yeah, flew to Edmonton. Ugh. And that was like 6 p.m. at night probably. And then I was in surgery by, like, 4 or 5 in the morning.
No way. Wow. Man, that's bad.
Got and a couple plates. Like, and are you good now or do you notice it anymore?
I'm good. Honestly, it used to bug me a little bit when I would sit for a long time. I think riding helps it, honestly. This last 5 years, it's never bothered me.
Oh, nice.
And before that, it kind of would every now and then, but
yeah.
Somebody asked me that the other day and I was like, holy, I don't remember the last time my leg hurt.
That's awesome.
That's good.
So I've also broken my left arm. It was pretty minor. Like, I didn't have to have a cast. It was high up. So just, like, a sling. That was another horse. Bucked me off. And this one was my own fault, but I drove a truck off of like a dead end road and I broke my ankle and I also had to have surgery on that.
Steph.
And that was in 2015.
You're
so going to
be
recent.
A ball of arthritis. What?
Oh, no. I know. I'm going to need to take some serious like CBD? Legend shots.
You
or something.
Should. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's crazy, Kate. Mm-hmm. Like, so how did you get your confidence back on a horse after that? Something like that happening?
So those two broken bones are both like pre-high school, even like probably junior high, both of them.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Like, it was never a question in my mind. Like, I think
that's
my
a young
mom,
mentality.
I think that's probably why my mom's still like, just doesn't mm-hmm. even want to come watch. I've been to the hospital so many times. She's just
she's like, I don't want to see
doesn't
that.
Know
Sandy's
she,
over it. Sandra's over it.
Yeah, doesn't know if she fully supports the extreme horse events. but I don't know. There was never a question in my mind that I wouldn't get back on. It was just, I think I was just young and just a passion.
You don't
I guess.
Think twice when you're that young. You're like, ah, yeah, get back, I'll get back on.
Yeah, I know.
But
no fear when you're young.
No.
Yeah, but I guess maybe, you know, it carries into your adult life. And that's why I have zero interest in mm-hmm. starting a horse.
I'd be scared that your freaking hip would fall off again.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I can come flying off when they deacon dive out of barrel. Yeah. So like, I don't need no bucker.
No, no.
So Ray, you just got recently is it in the last 5 years?
Yeah, I think it was 5 years ago now.
Okay.
I think like it'll 20... be 5 years. I think it'll be 5 years in April. Or no, okay. She'll be 10 then.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was turning 5 when I got her.
Okay. And
so
you
now
got,
she's turning 10.
And she was like started. She wasn't finished, but she was started.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take for you and Ray to click?
Not too long. Like she had a pretty solid start. It mm-hmm. was probably just, you know, me getting back off of like a 5 year hiatus kind of thing. Probably the first couple years though to really mm-hmm. like jive and get a little more competitive, I would say. But she had such a good start on her.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. My first season we went to NRR finals and it was a standard pattern in Fairview.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been like September. I got her in April.
Yeah.
And we ran like an 18.5 there.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was really pumped about that.
Yeah.
So, like I think we jived pretty quick, but mm-hmm. she had a really solid start too. Jessa did a good job.
So when you were horse shopping, like you'd looked for a couple, how did you decide on Ray?
I did look at a couple. Yeah, because the first one I tried, I like didn't even make a run on because I'm like, yeah, no, this is just too much horse. I don't want to risk going flying.
Yeah.
And then the other one, he just didn't have the buttons like Ray. Yeah, I don't know. Something just felt right,
just
I guess.
Felt right.
She had all the buttons. I guess I knew what I was looking mm-hmm. for and mm-hmm. she just checked all the boxes.
Yeah.
Kind of got to stick to that. Like I went and tried another like Bayrone, which he was really flashy and like, you know, had color, raised a sorrel.
Yeah.
But just the buttons weren't as sharp and I mm-hmm. just wanted something that was just ready to go.
You just feel it.
Yeah.
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 Especially getting back into it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I remember when I first saw you actually at a jackpot in High Prairie. Actually, I saw you too. Stevie. I wasn't talking to any of you guys yet because I was the snob. Just kidding. I didn't know anyone.
We were way too scared of your resting face there.
But no, I remember you were riding in a treeless. So so tell us maybe a little bit about that and then how you found the saddle that you ride in today, which is a posy.
Mm-hmm. I think at first I wanted the deepest of seats.
Yeah.
Just because I was probably like, you know, just getting back into it and wanted the deepest of seats to prevent myself from, you know, moving around too much.
Yeah.
And so just from probably Google searching and stuff, mm-hmm. I found that the treeless had a really deep seat.
Yeah.
And they were light and they kind of fit whatever. I don't know how I ended up with my other saddle. I just wanted something different, something with a tree.
I thought Ray was getting kind of sore.
She was.
Yeah.
I mean, but now, like, I have to do that maintenance regularly.
Yeah,
so I don't know
true.
If it was to if do it, with the saddle really or not. Or
that
if
makes
she just
sense.
Requires a little maintenance. But yeah, she did get a little bit sore. So I think I wondered if that had mm-hmm. anything to do with it, too. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like I wanted to switch and try a treed saddle. And I'd always liked the posies. And so I found one that fit her. I got her fitted by Julie Fassette at, I think, CBHI or ABRA finals and just had a really thorough saddle fitting
mm-hmm.
and found one that fit her. And I loved how it fit me. And yeah, I think we make good runs in it. So I'm happy.
You do. Your butt doesn't leave the seat.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So how about your bits? We know that you like to switch those up, and you recently got a Martha Josie, is it $1 million bit?
$1 million bit,
y'all.
Yes. Tell us about $1 million. Those two are the combo. So I have like the short shank and the long shank. I feel like for Barbie, I need those. Barbie likes to pop her head up a little bit when she doesn't have that nose band on. So I really like how she works in those. She's really bendy. So I'm actually going to order, it's called something different on her store, but it looks like the short shank combo bit, like the $1 million bit, but it has the Mullen mouthpiece, so just the straight bar.
That's gonna be way more stabilizing for her now?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so I'm excited to try the combo but with the straight mouthpiece. And then Ray, I've actually, since the very first clinic I took her in, I tried an Elliot, and I've rode her in that same Elliot ever since. It's a Spur.
Yeah, that's
04.
True, that's the one with more gig.
Yeah,
that's a gig.
So I ride that one when I make a run. But I'll honestly just kind of switch things up. Just kind of play around and see what works best on what horse. Like, I didn't have a combo and I didn't really know that's what I needed. But when I tried it on Barbie and then tried to go back to something else, I'm like, okay, nope. This Martha Josie combo is your bit.
Nice. That's cool. You should let me try one of those on Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I liked a combo on Cash. I borrowed Megan's for a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think I did ride Joe in a combo once a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I quite like it.
Nice.
So you are our professional podcast editor. And what do you notice that you edit most of these podcasts other than the likes and the ums?
Yeah, like I sometimes do edit out a lot of likes and ums. Me and Nadine are really bad for likes.
Yes.
I'm really bad for ums. And then sometimes when we get to laughing, I will cut out like a few of the bars of
really
the laugh.
Intense laugh.
Yeah. So I will cut out lots of that. Pauses for sure. Just like quicken it up a bit. It depends how long the podcast is.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it's a 2.5 or 3 hour recording. So then, you know, if I feel like it's maybe something we've touched on before, I'll clip it out. Mm. I don't think we cut a whole lot out. It just depends on the episode and how silly we were that day and who we were talking to, I guess.
I feel like we don't edit out too much of the podcast, but more so the intros. We can get pretty silly because we usually do those after the podcast is done.
We're tired.
And we're like, oh my gosh, we are laughing at everything at this point of the night.
Yeah.
So I have a question. How long does it take you to edit the average podcast?
However long the podcast is, it'll take double of editing.
Oh my goodness.
So if the podcast is 1.5 hours long, it'll take me at least 3 hours of editing. But that doesn't include, like, you know, transferring the files, clipping it all together, uploading it online, doing the little blurb. That's probably like 1 hour. So it's double the length plus 1 hour of just like other fiddling.
Yeah.
So 3-4 hours a week probably.
Well, we're very thankful that you can do that, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Steffi.
It's been a great learning experience.
You're very tech savvy.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
It's okay. I printed out the script on our on my notes today because I couldn't figure out how to do it on words. So I'm pretty sure you're the more tech savvy one out of the bunch here.
Oh, it looks good, Diener.
Yes. There's words. We can read them. They're nice and big.
Well, we're really proud of
Nadine. Granny eyes.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you were like just so organized.
Yeah,
this week,
I know.
Here. Like,
it was crazy.
Honestly, I don't know why, but I feel like I can whip out an outline in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
I need like a quiet room.
When
in
I
half
did
an hour,
Shorty's outline, literally, I was working on it all afternoon.
Yeah, like literally, I wrote this one when I was hiding in the bathroom at hair school because
I don't
needed
know how
to break.
You do that. I'm just like, literally, I'm sitting with my computer. I'm like researching on the internet.
Yeah,
like, I just can't.
No,
you've got a talent.
I can make questions. Yeah. I've asked a lot of questions.
But didn't you say like you kind of did reporting stuff?
I did, but I was 10 years old and I actually used the same questions every single time though. So
but we still, kind of like do you've that. Got
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
in
I
you.
Guess. I don't know. I just think about all the random things I want to know about and put them down on a piece of paper.
Yeah, you're good at that.
Well, thanks, man.
And you're good at making up questions on the fly.
Why are you giving me all these compliments?
Because you're good
and,
at it.
And
like,
captions.
I am so bad
thanks.
At it. Yeah,
oh my
captions.
Gosh.
Like,
my face is hurting from blushing right now. You guys are so good at everything you do. And look, I'm going to deflect this conversation off of me because I'm really bad at accepting these kind of things. And let's talk about
Stevie.
What is your training program?
Oh my gosh, I didn't see this question.
You can just kind of tell us like what you
just
like,
off the cuff.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Off
so
the cuffs.
I guess I just yeah, I'm kind of the same. I mean, I've started a few colds back in the day, but yeah, I've had a couple buck offs and whatnot. So mm-hmm. I'm like, someone else can deal with that stuff. I'll take them after 30 days. And then I'm like, I just have to get to riding them right away. Like, I'll start riding them outside as soon as I can, like out in the fields. And I'll do a lot of that the first year, especially. And like, I'll work on drills. I mean, yeah, little, not intense barrel drills or anything, but just circles, and I'll circle around trees and getting them soft and mm-hmm. moving off the leg and everything outside. And I don't know, man.
How does it differ from your young ones to your season one to Joe, like Joe to, or does it?
Yeah, I don't know if it doesn't
still feel like you're always working on something, or you can.
Yeah.
You
like can I'm always working. Drill. I'm always working on the same stuff with Joe as I am with the younger ones. I guess the younger ones, like, I won't expect as much of them in one ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I work on one little tiny thing, and if I get that, then I won't worry about the rest. Or like, I'll just go out for a nice easy ride and I'll work on one other thing. I won't go into the arena and expect, like, you have to be perfect all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas Joe, you might expect a little more out of her on the same exercises.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, that sounds good. All your horses are so nice. Like, even when we went to Shannon's, D was just killing it. Like, every drill she did so perfect. I was just like, well, I'm embarrassed. My horse sucks.
She hasn't had time to build up bad habits.
Yeah, no. And you haven't let her have any. Yeah. So you're doing a really, really good job with her. So speaking of Dee, she is the second horse that you've patterned and got ready for futurities. Are there similar traits that both her and Joe have struggled with and succeeded with?
Oh, boy. They actually are like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's just me because Fame feels different, but yeah, they are very similar.
Well, yeah, they share the same brand. So yeah, that's why I was wondering, is it very similar?
But Joe is a perfect possibility. D is a raisin the moon out of a perfect possibility mare.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say they're very similar. I notice, like, now that I'm putting D on the pattern,
mm-hmm.
and with Joe, I noticed this too, like, they want to really fire off that barrel.
Yeah.
And almost it gets to be... I mean, it's a good thing, but also they get, like, they know what they're doing.
I know. That's
and they're
the kind
just
of
like, I know what I'm doing. Like, and they just want to finish that turn and take off. But this also happened with Joe. If, like, I work on it, I mean, I haven't even worked on it that much, but it's like coming around the turn, they get so excited coming off that barrel and mm-hmm. they want to kind of kick out and maybe buck a little bit. so that's the one downside, but I'm like, I know it's gonna turn out good. She's gonna be super gritty coming off those turns, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I just have to take it slower. Like,
I'm
back down to, like, I was kind of starting to add a little bit of speed. Mm-hmm. I mean, not too much, but so now I'm just working on loping it, taking it nice and easy.
Nice.
And keeping her confident and relaxed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That will make for a good minded horse mm-hmm. going into competition.
But yeah. I'm excited. She feels like she's gonna be really gritty.
Well, no, we are excited only, for you.
Yeah.
If only we can have some exhibitions to go to.
Well, shucks.
Well, if they don't start up soon, one of you can take D and exhibitioner when.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to be.
That's true.
So I don't want to push her too hard, especially now.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find yourself feeling any pressure to get your young ones performing when you're watching all the maturity trainers come on really strong on their 4 and 5 year olds?
Kind of, I do. But in the same time, I'm like, I'm pretty new at the futurity game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have to give myself some slack. And even the horses, like D, she was coming along really nice. And then I needed to take it back a couple steps. So I don't want to push her. I don't want to blow her up and make her hate barrels. I want her to like barrels. So And I mean, yeah, I'm pregnant, so
that too.
I'm not going to be able to go to the early futurities.
No.
Yeah.
So I think if I don't want to just sit in limbo and not get anywhere with her, but if I can't get there as fast as these other trainers, I'm not stressed about it.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Definitely not. You'll be ready by CBHI for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like CBHI's at the end. Like,
yeah.
I'm good to go. So what are some drills that you're doing with her and Fame that you're loving right now?
So right now, I do a ton of loping big circles and then bringing it down to a small circle.
Yeah.
Just getting them, I don't know, just comfortable making that transition into a small circle and not stressing out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have barrels or cones set up or whatever I have. And then I'll just throw them wherever in the arena and do the same thing. Like I'll
That's really good.
Yeah, just do a circle and then throw in a barrel, mm-hmm. no stress about it.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep them driving from behind.
Balanced and
keeping them balanced. I'm having a bit of difficulties with Fame right now because I didn't ride him much in the summer and he did a whole bunch of growing.
He's mm-hmm. huge.
Yeah, and so now my saddle does not fit, like none of my saddles fit, and I'm just like
crap.
Yeah, he got sore from them.
Oh,
and
no.
Like he's to the point where like he doesn't want to back up at all and he's just so uncomfortable. So
did you find my number 10 with that BioFit pad was better, like, when you used it again, or?
I didn't put the BioFit on. I just used, like, because one side is thicker than the other, so I just used those pieces of felt, like,
mm-hmm.
that Julie girl, she showed me that once. So, I used that, and I don't know. That saddle is definitely fits better with the more rock in it.
Yeah.
The number 10.
And I think the thing with him is his shoulder is so big, like,
mm-hmm.
and it goes further back.
Yeah.
His scapula. Like when he moves the
shoulder blade.
Yeah, because like when I go to back him up, he doesn't want to move his front legs. But with that saddle, I'll find he will back up, but there's still some resistance. So, yeah, I'm not working on too much with him right now.
Taking it easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't want to make him grumpy.
No, mm-hmm. or get sour with anything, especially if you do any
exactly.
barrel work.
And he's so sweet. Like,
yeah, he is.
He's not a mean horse, so
yeah. mm-hmm.
I don't want to make him
exactly.
angry.
Totally. No, that is a good move on you.
Yeah, and he's just a baby, so.
Yeah, he's a sweet boy.
Yeah.
So I'm like really excited for this next question. So picking out broodmares and stallions, what are some things that you look for and what are some helpful tips for our listeners if they want to get into this kind of game?
Well, here's the thing. You just got to jump in with both feet.
Just do it.
Don't wait till the right time because there's never a right time.
Yeah. Hey, wait, is this what you told yourself about pregnancy too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. If you put it off, you're just going to keep putting it off. So just go buy all the horses and
yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah. So that's how you get into it.
So what specific bloodlines were you kind of looking for, caught your eye, and maybe for like both the mare and the stallion
or in the future? Like what's going to grab your attention?
Tell us everything.
Okay. Here's the thing. I was just like, if I'm going to get into this, I want good names like right there on the papers. Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't look for horses that had like, so I have one mare, Paint Your Wagon. And I was like, I don't want Paint Your Wagon like at the back of the papers. Cause then she's going to have a baby and it's not even going to be on the papers anymore. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just looked for nice mares and from nice, like
daughters.
Daughters. Yeah, I didn't want just like a nice stud and then
whatever
no name mare.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I honestly believe the mare does have a lot
yes.
of impact.
Maybe,
in that
you know,
pool.
A bit more than half or yeah. whatever, right? Like they,
yeah, so very I want good mares and I don't know. I made sure that I was dealing with like good breeders,
mm-hmm.
good people.
So for confirmation, like I'll just look for something that's, I just like them to look overall nicely balanced. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't want them to have a huge shoulder and a little hip or anything. Like, I want them to be nice and balanced. And I do like when they don't have a super long back.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think Deacon has a bit of a longer back, but I do like a shorter back.
So this podcast would honestly be nothing without your insane photography and editing skills. If someone is just getting into it, what are just maybe a few helpful tips that you can give to either editing or photographers coming up?
Get a good camera or get your husband to buy you one. Actually, I didn't even get my husband to buy me one. He bought me one for Christmas.
Whoa.
Just like, did he know you're interested?
I don't really remember.
Or like, did he research this particular brand or did you?
Yeah, I didn't know. I had no idea.
Oh. That's awesome.
I think I had been maybe talking about like, oh, I want to take nice pictures, blah, blah, blah. Because like I was always taking pictures of the dogs.
The ride or dies are going to want to know if like Landon has any more brothers here soon. Like he just he's all in for like the horse breeding. he just buys you a camera, does his own research. Like,
does he have any brothers?
No.
Does. Oh, sorry, girls or boys.
Sorry, oh dear.
Just had to add that in
there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. He did all the research and got me a really sweet camera. Like I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
And, what brand is your camera?
It is a Sony A Alpha 6000.
Cool.
Yes.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah, so get a good camera. And I mean, you don't have to spend like thousands, but you know, get a nice camera.
Mm-hmm.
And get good lenses. Like the lens, I really like the lenses it came with. The one I use most for the podcast is like, it's not a zoom lens, but it has really good, like, you know, when you're looking at a picture and there's a picture of a person and the lights in the background are blurred, like you can really get that look really nicely and crisp with this lens. So look for a good lens like that. And again, like my lens, I researched, you just have to research a lot and figure out like which are the good ones and you can find them at decent prices.
Mm-hmm.
And then get a good editing app. Like I have Lightroom and lots of these apps now, you have to get a monthly,
subscription.
Yeah. Which that is how the new Lightroom is, but I was able to get the old Lightroom. So it has it's supposed to be a little harder to edit or not edit, but just figure out at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's $100 and some and you have it for life.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
You're
not paying every month.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. Like,
yeah. And when you do get a camera, get the manual out and don't even turn on the camera until you've read the whole manual and like go on the internet and Google how to figure out all the settings for that specific camera. Because if you turn it on and you just try and fiddle with it, you're not gonna miss lots.
And there's probably so many features, just like an iPhone. Like you don't even know all the capabilities it has until you do a little reading.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all I did with I researched a bunch on the camera and the Lightroom and that's how it happened.
That's awesome. Well, we're very thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't stop taking pictures, because if you stop then you forget things and you just got to keep practicing.
We'll
and
let you practice
awesome
on us all the time.
That let you
get yourself a model friend that makes your job a little easier.
Yes, it really builds up your confidence when you have someone like Nadine to take pictures of.
Okay, it you guys does. Are so good too.
Oh my gosh, you guys have no idea what it's like to take pictures of Nadine.
Speaking of the model in the pod squad,
okay, I'm like cringing right now. It's okay. I got told today that I look like a completely different person without makeup. So you guys are pumping my tires from.
But it's beautiful either way. Everyone looks different. Like that's what it's for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So yes, Nadine, since we're talking about this, tell us about your modeling. How did you get into that?
My modeling? So I guess I got into modeling.
Like when did it first like cross your mind, or did somebody like approach you for your first?
I was actually...
gig?
an ugly duckling when I was in high school. I don't believe you. No, I was like, just, yeah, not like, no one ever wanted to date me in high school. Like, I never was like that girl that had a boyfriend or guys weren't ever interested in me. I just never was self-confident about myself. And then when I went and moved to Edmonton, so when I was the reporter, I interviewed the CEO of the Edmonton Oilers. And then I messaged him when I went to university and I said, hey, like, want to give me a job at the Oilers? And he was like, for sure. What do you want? Like, literally, I was able to pick whatever job kind of deal that was like in reach.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I want an ice crew job, like 150%. So then I started doing that. And I actually moved out of my small town and I started actually getting kind of complimented more from people. Mm-hmm. I looked at myself in the mirror a lot differently. And then I kind of just started taking off a little bit from there, doing some freelance stuff. And then I got signed in with an agency, which was a disaster. Yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. I am not
what
doing.
What kind of agency?
Yeah. It was definitely not what I thought it was. Like,
oh, no.
When I signed up the contract and everything, I was like, Kate, like, I'm going to be just doing like fashion, high fashion, portrait, like whatever. But they like kept pushing like boudoir or implied nude. And I was just like, yeah, my dad will kill me. Like, there's not a chance. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. There's just, I just wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
So yeah, they like tried doing that. And I remember like they did a legging shoot with me and the guy just kept taking weird pictures of my butt. And I was just like, yeah, I'm out of here.
Oh boy.
So I got out of that. And then, yeah, I just started freelancing ever since then.
Yeah.
That yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And so when do you think your Instagram started popping and stuff? When did you start?
Definitely when I started working for the Oilers. Like, I like, somehow people would find me. People would like take videos of me and send them to me. Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Okay, so what year was it that you moved to Edmonton?
2012 I graduated. Hmm. So it was like the fall, I guess, of 2012 was when I moved. I moved as soon as, that's when university would start in September. Okay. So I moved then. I moved to Edmonton and forgot the keys to my apartment in Lac-la-Vish. Like, that's how immature I was when I moved.
Oh, Nadine.
Not much has changed.
No, nothing's changed. And
you had to go like come all the way back to my house the other night because you left your keys.
Shop keys.
Yeah. At the kitchen table where we were podcasting.
Under the chair. Like, what?
Under the table.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess when I started working for the Oilers and got a little bit like, we weren't allowed to ever post that we worked for them, which is really stupid, but people still somehow found out.
Weird.
But yeah, there was a lot of contracts you had to sign. Did we listen to them? No. But mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Nadine, I'm sure it wasn't just all amazing with your modeling and like your amazing faces and poses. Have you had any bloopers?
You guys want to know what I did once?
Yes.
Oh no.
I went to like this wedding gown shoot. And I forgot to shave my armpit.
Oh, no.
I've never
been. How hairy
been,
were they?
It was more than a 5 o'clock shadow. Like, it was definitely.
Did they run to the local convenience store? And?
Well, no. They kept trying to, like, make my hands kind of go over my head or, like, run my hands through my hair. But I would, like, angle my elbows so you couldn't see my armpit.
Oh, I'm sure they could edit that out.
Oh, man. Yeah, they probably could have. But I was, like, so mortified. I, like, literally, like gave myself a face palm. Like, how did you like, you got like, because well, I guess I don't get ready. Like, you go there and they do your hair and makeup and they give you the dress and stuff, so I didn't even think to shave my armpits. Like, oh, so my. Embarrassing.
Did it show up in any of the photos or you were good?
No, I was good. Yeah. I had a good photographer. Yes, I didn't tell anyone, but I'm sure 150% they noticed. There was no way you couldn't.
That's so awesome.
It happens.
Yeah.
So, like, when we're shooting here, me and Stevie are kind of, like, awkward and we need you to coach us and stuff. So, did anyone ever coach you or were you always kind of natural at this? Or?
No one ever coached me. I just got, I guess I just kind of looked at different poses that I did and found out what I hated. Like, with my face, I hate when my chin's down. I hate when my elbows are straight. I hate when I am in certain positions, like especially like the left side of my face is not as photogenic as the right side. As crazy as that sounds.
I'm the same way.
It is true. But yeah, no, I guess it was just always trial and error with me. It was just, yeah. Yeah.
There's got to be some natural ability there.
I don't know.
Like, me and Steph have been working at this for a year.
Yeah, but I've been working at it for a lot of time. Like, I know, there's been a lot of terrible pictures.
But have we really worked at it? Like, you, like they say you're supposed to practice in front of the mirror when you're going to go on the camera. Did you ever practice in front of the mirror?
I've never did. But I do sometimes, like, when I first started, I would take, like, a selfie mode on my phone, and I would set it up, and I would take, like, a video just so I could see, like, kind of, like,
all the angles.
All the angles, like, before
maybe
I would do a shoot.
Work harder at it.
Yeah. That was something I did when effort. I first started, I guess. Yeah. Okay. That's the only kind of coaching
like
or training
the whole
I did.
Relax your face.
Soften your lips.
I need to figure that out. Yeah.
It's a lot. It's yeah. tougher than people think.
Okay, so should we chat a little bit about your horses now?
Sure, yeah, let's do that.
What does your training program look like, Nadine?
So I guess I differ from you guys just a little bit in a sense that I do like starting my own colts. And the only reason why is because my boyfriend starts colts.
So if something happens, here you go, Cole.
Actually, no, he will not let me do that.
Really?
Like, yeah, I had an incident with Batty and I was just like, hey, Cole, like, can you please get on her? He's like, nope. Yeah. I'm not getting on her. I was like, why? Is it because you're going to be so mad at me because you want to do the whole thing yourself? So if I do this in a weak moment that you're having, he's like, just go for a walk and come back kind of thing. And I was like, okay, yeah. But yeah, so it depends on like what we're doing for training. Like either if we're on a time limit with a 30-day or 60-day training or if we're training our own. Mm-hmm. So I'll just talk more so about training our own. So for myself, I try to make sure that my groundwork is perfect. And when I mean groundwork, I am like, it is no fun and games when it comes to that. Like it, even like by the steps that I take around my horse, I am watching every single thing I do. So when I'm like lunging a horse or working them around me, like some people will step around them or like, you know, like kind of step to the side when they want them to move or step in front of them when they want them to stop. I don't do that. A horse is going to work around me. So I am in the middle. I don't move. If a horse is coming into me and I want him or her to go out, I step into his shoulder. I don't step towards his hip because that almost allows him or her to know that, okay, this she's going to move around me. Like, no, I assert that from day one. Mm-hmm. And so after I'm done like that kind of groundwork, I love fence work. For 2 weeks, that's what I was doing with Batty. So someone will kind of... it's almost like round penning, like they will work them around you while you're sitting on a fence. Mm-hmm. And when they stop next to you, that's when you reward them, you treat them, you love on them. And then they're like, oh, this is my safe spot. I want to be by her. Everywhere else is a pressure situation except for by her. And so they learn to trust you. And so when you're above them, it allows you almost to like sneak on their back without them noticing.
And they
too
get
much.
Used to you being
they
up
do,
there.
They do.
Yeah,
and
stuff.
Yeah. And for me, like, I know I'm not strong. And I know they say you don't have to be strong to start colts or work with horses because you don't. Like, you just have to know, like, the pressure and release system. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like I need a little more core strength if something goes into bucking that I'm going to stay on. So if I can eliminate that as much as I can, I'm going to do that. So, I do that. And then after, like, you know, you do your first ride. But for all those, for everyone kind of starting their own colts, I have some really funny colt starting stories that I'm very thankful didn't go into something more.
Didn't end worse.
Yeah. I'm lucky it was either a couple of broken toes or whatever, or just getting drug across the field with no injuries. But when you're on a colt, hold on to the horn.
Yeah. Grab that horn.
Grab
lady.
That horn and sit. Like, and always have that eye. Like, for me, like, I know not everyone's like this. I like to have my horse's eye just a little bit into me, just so I can see. And, like, I enjoy doing all that kind of stuff because it's so, like, satisfying. Mm-hmm. Like, I just like taking that time. I've really enjoyed my time with Batty. She's the first colt that I started that I'm actually super enjoying working with because I learned so much more over these years compared to my thoroughbred that I started that I bought for $500 that was 5 years old that almost killed me. Or even Cash. Like, she was the first... That was the first colt that I've ever put the first ride on was Cash, and that was...
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. That was probably, like, five... That was... four or five years ago.
Sweet.
And yeah, like, she was...
And how did that go?
She was awesome. Like, so when Cole and I start colts, we never are fortunate enough to have a round pen, so I'm always the first one on their back, and he's always the one that's lunging me, because if something were to go wrong, I know that I could not I'd probably be like, whoa, sorry buddy, like, whereas at least with him in the middle and round penning them, I know he can, like, kind of manhandle them if need be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of like where we start our cults. Maybe a couple of tips and tricks, but please, for the love of God, when you're hanging on your first horn. Hang on to that horn.
Oh man, I was hanging on to the horn for like the first couple weeks riding D.
Yeah.
Mel, like even Mel, he's like, just hang on to the horn. You don't need two hands.
Yeah. And
you don't even need one hand.
No. You can ride literally, with no hands.
Like the first time I rode her, he's like, just keep your hand down at her neck. I don't want any tightness in the reins, and mm-hmm. hang on to the horn. Mm-hmm. Use your bloody legs. Use your body.
Yeah, because you want to get them used to that.
He's not that grouchy, but
like as bad as this, like maybe you want to edit this word out, but do not pussyfoot around a horse. Mm-hmm. Like that is the worst thing you can do. If you like, don't use your feet. Don't use your legs. Like, mm-hmm. so once that's done, my program that I like with horses has more so developed into like a little bit of like a reining foundation. Mm-hmm. Like I don't allow my horses to leave a stop unless their head is down. Like mm-hmm. I want, and it's not even just their face collected. I don't want their face like in the dirt. I want their belly up, everything mm-hmm. underneath themselves, and to really be soft. Like before I even ask Cash to walk out, I have her face down, and I have her, like I can melt her around with my fingers, and then I'll ask her to go, and she's not going to break that headset. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's super important. And I found that's really helping us on the barrels as well. Like I love doubling up my barrels. That makes her relax around the barrels. Mm-hmm. And I'll keep her frame, but I'll be really lenient about it. Cause I like on a different
give them
horse,
the opportunity to do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And on a different horse, like maybe one that throws out a shoulder or throws out this or that, you want to correct that. But with Cash, like it's her anxiety around the barrels. So I just want her to find her own pace. So I love the doubling up around the barrels, but I want my horses to be broke. Before mm-hmm. they get on. And that's what attracted me to Corley, was how broke and soft he was, because that's how I like my horses to feel.
Mm-hmm. He had a good foundation.
Such a good foundation. Love
and
love
a little
horse.
Bit of a reining background too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So definitely fit into like what I like, but yeah, definitely has been like years of like learning and trial and error to like get to that point.
Yeah.
So what do you think your program with him is going to look like here in this next little while after you're done school and stuff and getting back into it?
I know. I feel so bad. Like, I want to be riding him more, but I feel like with school,
on this, like, everything now, this second freaking lockdown, too, doesn't make things easy.
And it doesn't make it easy to afford, right? Like, mm-hmm. especially around Christmas and stuff, like, to shut everything down sucks. But, so, yeah, with him, my program is going to be very similar to Cash. Like, I've got him moving really nice, like, his face down, him being collected. I'm putting him into difficult situations. I'll make him do very little squares or circles at a lope, and I want him just not dropping in. So I'm going to do a lot of that kind of stuff with him and straightening him out. Like, he is a little bit bendy, especially when we leave the barrel, which isn't a bad thing, but it almost makes him a little bit off balance, where if we get him a little bit straighter, he can really fire off there cleaner. Mm-hmm. Myself as a rider, I need to be able to learn to take him in with less pocket than I'd give Cash. Cash is a longer, bigger horse, where Corley is very short and compact. Point. And so he can get in and out of there so quick. I don't need it. Like, literally when I'm riding him, I'm like, ride to your point and drop. Like, he's very point and shoot. But he likes to panic a little bit. Like, he likes to just get in and out of there. So we're going to be doing, again, a lot of doubling up on the barrels to get him nice relaxed and soft.
Some chill stuff, too.
Yeah.
So you haven't just been busy with barrels. Let's talk about you getting into roping and breakaway roping. When did you first decide to start roping, and how did it come about?
So when Cole and I first got together, I guess a year and a half into our relationship, I was like, okay, this is serious. And I know, like, we're going to have a ranch one day. So I'm going to want to be able to, like, doctor cows in the field and rope something down. So, you know, I got to be a little bit handy if I want to stay with this guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to start roping. So started off on the dummy, and he'd kind of show me some things and show me how to coil my rope properly and hold my coils properly, like everything being even. And the biggest thing he taught me, and this is something that you need to maybe learn as soon as you start roping, is what you're doing if you're throwing with your right hand, what you're doing with your left hand. Because every time he's like, what are you doing with your left hand? That's your horse's mouth. Like, why are you wiggling it around and everything? And I'm like, oh, I have to keep that steady. Mm-hmm. So thinking about that all the time is important. We literally used to play like a game of horse. So like you'd play basketball or whatever. But we do that with roping where it's like, okay, you have to stand on that ball one legged and throw a backwards loop around that specific pole. And we used to play that all day, every day. And like it got me so good at roping though, and like doing different shots and to like be more confident with my rope and like know how to like throw like long shots, short shots. And it was just something fun to do as well. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that's kind of how I got started into roping. And then I didn't have a rope horse, so I was like, dang, like I want to do this, but my horse isn't a rope horse. So I got her introduced to the rope. So yeah, once again, you bring her eye in a little bit and you introduce it, like you kind of pat her down, whatever, kind of like a big thing you got to introduce to your horse as well is swinging that, like that sound. Not a lot of horses love that sound, right? Or they're unsure about that sound. So you want to make sure you have them a little bit when you first start doing it, just in case something happens. And then getting them used to like you throwing it and then backing up with the rope in front of them, because like none of our horses have really seen a snake probably before, but they're just like,
kidding,
snake. Seriously. So yeah, that's kind of how I started roping, I guess, on Cash.
Mm-hmm. So when you did get into roping, like, are there any kind of equipment changes you did?
Well, I didn't change anything off the bat because I didn't know.
Okay.
So I just went to my first roping clinic with Janelle Gertler, which was awesome. Yeah. And she's like, put a tie down on that horse. Like, because every time I'd try to rope, like, she'd pop her head up.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, like, I don't know about this. So I put the tie down on her and I put her in pressure situations before we even got into, like, tracking a steer, just so I know she wasn't going to flip over on me. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge change, just putting a tie down on. I was like, this is a goal, a life changer. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was, I guess, the biggest equipment change that I made. I mean, I can still rope in my barrel saddle if I wanted to because it's a breakaway saddle. But I do have a saddle, custom saddle in the works coming my way.
Good. Excited to see the final product.
I'm excited, too. It's over 100 years old custom saddle. So
yeah,
cool.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you'll do roping with Corley too, or do you think you'll maybe like focus one on one thing, one on the other, or will they do both?
They're both gonna do both. Yeah. Unfortunately, we live the kind of lifestyle where we have to be able to rope off everything that we have.
What's your like 2021 career goals? Because we know you've been like hustling so hard at like your current career doing lashes, but you know, doing that at the same time as school too. So like, what do you see yourself doing in 2021? If like, you know, the world's normal.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want to rent a chair and like have my own business still. Yeah.
Like, once you get a taste of that, it's probably hard to
there's no way.
Want to work.
It's really hard to work for someone else when you're your own boss. Mm-hmm. With lashing, like I still definitely want to lash and I have, my books are closed, so I have enough clients. But I would love to just get into the teaching side. So if any of our listeners want to become your own boss and like get into the beauty industry, send me a message, because if you have enough people where you are at, I will come down and travel and teach where you're at. Because that's kind of, I kind of want to be like a little bit of a traveling teacher in that sense. Because I know it changed my life with that 2-day course. It completely changed my life. So I hope to balance like maybe like two or three hair appointments a day and then 2 lash appointments a day, and just like become just balanced and grow my clientele and hair as well as I did with my lashes. So
what makes you want to be a teacher?
The money is pretty good.
Okay, so you're not like, I love teaching.
I do love teaching. Okay, I have taught like, a couple courses and I love it. It's so much fun.
I feel like you would. You like giving the tips and tricks.
Yeah, I do love teaching and I love going through. Like I have a whole syllabus that I made and I have everything already done up for me to teach. And so
you're good at explaining things.
Yeah.
I guess so.
And if like, you know, you get 5 girls together and it's X amount each for a weekend, like whoo.
Yeah, you're making...
You can make some good money and just, you know, doing a couple day course.
Like, exactly. And if you want to host a course, I'll give you a discount. So, but no, seriously, like that's what I hope to do is teach and then fit in my lashing and my hair and hopefully grow my clientele like Megan.
Cool beans. Well, we are excited for you.
Me too.
So we were like just kind of randomly talking the other day about what we were going to talk about on this year end episode. And we were just saying how we all come from different backgrounds and like beliefs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like Nadine, so do you want to elaborate a little bit on that? Like,
it's crazy because 3 years from now, there was no way I would ever have this conversation with you guys. Let
even
alone,
I feel like the beginning of this year.
Yeah, I never thought I'd ever talk about this on the podcast, but I'm fully comfortable with who I am and my background. So I guess I'll give it a go. I mean, honestly, though, it's not like my faith is something that's super well perceived in the world right now. So it's kind of tough. And the Western lifestyle, like, it doesn't usually fit in with a lot of things or a lot of people's views in the world. I have been really hurt by some people that are big barrel horse producers that have had really racist comments. I am Muslim, and my family, my mom's Lebanese, my dad's Ukrainian. My dad converted for my mom. And I'm so proud of that. So proud of him. So proud of my mom. They raised me in a very welcoming home. There was no child marriages. There was no bombs. But like for myself, like I'm not extremely religious. Like I like clearly am not. But I still have faith and I still believe in the values that my parents taught me. And there's a lot of the things that I do fully believe in our religion. And I am proud to say who I am. Like I said, it's not always been like that. I'll bring up an instance. This lady who's a big name in our Western world made a post about how Muslims do child marriages and how they're terrible and that every one of them should burn in hell and blah blah blah. Like I'm used to seeing this, like 100%. I'm usually,
but,
just,
I mean,
like
white people do child pornography and crazy,
I mean,
you know,
yeah,
like,
it's yeah, I mean, it's in every culture. There's
exactly.
extremists in
There's
every
crazy
religion
people
yeah.
everywhere
yeah. So I just decided, I was like, you know what, let me reach out and educate in like a really positive way. Maybe if she has one positive experience with a Muslim person, it'll just change her view on everything. And I did.
And
I commented.
Nice about it.
I was super nice, and I'm not usually that nice, so I was pretty proud. And so I just said, hey, like, just so you're aware, like, what you posted isn't true. Like, I would love to educate you more about this topic, because it's something that directly affects me. So if you'd love it, if you'd like to, like, maybe like send me a message, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And she like commented back. She's like, oh my god, are you a Muslim? And I was just like, here we go. And so I just like privately messaged her and I was like, hey, so-and-so, let me just like tell you who I am, like how I was raised, how I got brought up. And let's like have this conversation, because I feel like you're totally misinformed. Like, mm-hmm. don't read the stuff you have on Facebook. And she just like went on a huge tangent that was super racist. And I was just like, okay, lady. And she's like, yeah, like you got like, how come you're not in an arranged marriage? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, I'm with a cowboy, so I don't think there's any more Canadian or Albertan or Western. Like, you can't get any more Western than that. And so I was like, I had my free choice to like do what I wanted. Like, my parents did not force me. Like,
yeah.
I'm living, breathing, and I'm not a child bride. Like, I'm fine. And that's not everyone. 100%, no. That's not everyone. But I feel like if there's a good thing to come out of 2021, which like isn't a whole bunch of good, or 2020, which isn't like a whole bunch of good things, it's definitely that people are more comfortable with who they are. Mm-hmm. Like, there is been a stand. People aren't tolerating racism anymore. And so I finally feel like, okay, I can come out to my, like, I can come out and say this publicly. Not that I was ever like not public. I mean, when I was with people that weren't Muslim or people in the Western community, and they'd be like, whoa, like what background are you? I'd be like, I'm Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I never, yeah, I just wasn't comfortable, or like, I didn't want people to judge me, but that's who I am. And I'm mm-hmm. super, super proud of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can, yeah, totally be myself. So if you guys have any questions, any of our listeners, send me a message, because mm-hmm. I'd love to answer it and educate about.
And one bonus to being friends with Nadine, if she gets food with bacon on it, she'll give me her bacon.
Yeah.
Like,
and you get all the hummus that you want. Like, yes. Literally, if any of our freaking listeners have watched, like, Don't Mess with the Zohan, like, when he, like, dips his glasses in, like, hummus, and, like, the whole movie, that's my family. Like, if you want an educational background, this is it. No, I'm happy.
Yeah, didn't your mom brought hummus for Thanksgiving? Was it Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, yes, she made it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Such good food. So that's the one thing you guys want to know. Like, we have the bombest food. But yeah, no, I'm very happy.
Nadine doesn't eat any of it.
I don't like hummus. But Steph is just
you don't
like
very much food, man. Like, you're like the dips, and you're hard to feed.
I am hard. I'm hard.
No kidding. Hard and like,
is the cheese just
gross, man?
You just don't like cheese.
No. Yeah,
like, who are you?
I don't know.
Like, no cheeses. Like, no kind.
Only if it's melted on like a pizza or grilled cheese.
Yeah.
But then halfway through the pizza, I'll pick off the cheese because I'm sick of it. But yeah, no, I'd like to thank you guys for even bringing up that topic and like being okay to talk about it. So I'm happy I got to.
Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. I guess it's 2020. Here we go.
Yeah.
So you have a pretty strong faith, Stevie. Mm-hmm.
The church I go to is...
Do you go to Nampa or Peace River?
First Baptist?
I go to Nampa. It's Nampa Gospel Fellowship. And it's an evangelical missionary church of Canada. So yeah, I'm Christian. I'm not Catholic. I honestly don't know that much about Catholics. But like my dad, he grew up Catholic. And he actually switched over to Christian. It just made more sense to him. But I can't really say, like you said, you don't really know the difference. But yeah, so... But yeah, anyway, I have a pretty strong faith too, and it even growing up too, like how you said, you're kind of I don't know if I want to.
Yeah,
people. I mean, yeah, it's always a struggle because you feel like you're gonna be judged for certain things, but yeah, you're proud of who you are, like you have that faith, and I don't know how your religion is, but like you have that relationship, you know, with God and
yeah. So what are you little Heinz 57?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. I don't know what I am. No, I just I just do me. Yeah, I don't really
you
have
just do
I
you.
Don't really have much.
Your hubby though, he has a pretty strong cultural background.
Yeah, he is a Tlingit native, or partly anyways. His mom's from the Yukon. Tlingit is actually spelt with a T, like T-G, Tlingit.
Oh, what? So cool.
It's like Tlingit. Yeah, so they're like coastal natives. He's from that culture, I guess. So we've been up there. It's definitely pretty cool. And his dad is, he's Ukrainian
too. Yeah.
I've asked my parents, like my grandpa's 92. I tried asking him just the other day, like, okay, where we come from?
You
like,
literally don't know.
Like Nampa. They don't really know.
You're from Berwyn.
Come up from the States.
Oh, wow.
We should get you a DNA test.
I should get a DNA
test. Ancestry.ca.
Yeah.
Okay, but like, I'd be a little bit nervous to like send my DNA to like people I don't know. That's like the only thing.
Yeah.
But we should still get you that test and see what we are and reveal it on the pod.
I should get that test.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
That'd be cool. But yeah.
So you don't know like any of your long distant relatives then? Or
not from, really, no.
What does she look like? I feel like you can see you being like European for sure.
Must be.
Yeah. Didn't we all come from Europe?
My one grandma
came
like,
from the sand dunes, man. It's crazy. Like looking back on this year, like all three of us have gotten so much closer together.
Mm-hmm.
We've never... Like, well, I hung out with Steph each quite a bit, but not like how we hang out now.
Yeah.
And same with Stevie. Like, it's just crazy how much like we've all grown together and like really come into ourselves.
It's really cool.
We're filling out nice.
We're filling out good. Stevie especially.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
So we reached out to our listeners to ask us some questions. So we definitely love getting your guys' feedback. So we're going to get into some of the questions that people have asked us. So Stevie, I'm going to butcher these names.
Okay.
Katara.
Yeah. Katara wants to know some tips about owning a kennel as it's her dream to own one day.
Didn't prepare for this one. Owning a kennel, well, you have to understand that someone needs to be there all the time.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Because dogs... You can't just put them in the kennel and leave them for the weekend when you go barrel racing.
No.
You need to hire people. And I think a big thing with owning a kennel is really make sure your social media is nice. Have lots of nice pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you want the kennels to look clean and everything for people's dogs.
Yeah, keep everything clean.
Yeah.
And let your dogs have fun because... If they're fun, they're going to go home happy. They're going to go home tired. Mm-hmm. And they're going to, on their way to the kennel, they'll be excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you are building a kennel or buying a kennel or whatever, make sure you have lots of big runs they can run around and play in. And, yeah, keep them safe and happy.
Yeah.
Just treat them like your own dog.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a really good mm-hmm. one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. you guys bought this place already built. Is there anything you would do differently in the kennel part? Like just build bigger runs, or is there other little things now that you have one that you would say, ooh, that'd be nice?
I think like the size of them is pretty good. Like we have smaller kennels. They can still fit a big dog in them, but if you want to fit two big dogs, it gets a little tight. So we actually built, or we kind of, we had, there was a lean-to, but we closed it all in and insulated it and built more kennels in there, indoor kennels. And those ones we made bigger so you can fit like three big dogs comfortably in there. Mm-hmm. But one thing that we would love to have is if the kennels were sealed all the way to the floor and then there was drains so you could hose each kennel out separately.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because yeah. the kennels that were there and the ones we built, they have a little space under them.
Mm.
And then
if you're hosing out one or cleaning out one, you kind of
have
to
hose the whole thing. Even if you have only two kennels that are full in that building,
yeah,
there's always stuff that's going to get in the other kennel if you hose it or whatever, or if mm-hmm. they do pee. I mean, they are sloped, so they'll go, hopefully, like usually it goes kind of to the middle and down, but yeah, that's one big thing I would definitely change.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are some good tips.
Yeah. Yeah. So Casey wants to know, how do you make a non-horsey guy take our shit seriously? Because it looks like Landon does a pretty good job.
Show them all the nice horses that make all the nice money.
Yeah. Take them to CBHI.
Show them the pink buckle results.
Yeah. You guys. No, I don't know.
Just find a good man.
Yeah.
I think if you start out with just like a general animal lover, you're like off on the on the right foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totes.
Yeah. If they don't like animals at all, like they don't even like dogs, then I don't know.
I don't think
that's gonna be a challenge.
It's gonna be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really gonna have to work at that one.
Especially because you come home, especially during shedding season, hairy and smell Ooh. Like a barn.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked your tip on just show them all those nice ones and all the money that can be made.
Yeah.
Show them the positive things.
Show me the money.
Okay, Diener, another question from Katira. She wants to know, how do you function being so busy while keeping your horses going?
It has been a struggle. Big time. You guys have seen my late hours and my early mornings and doing all that. But what I think about when I wake up every morning, it's like I need to do this, 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 and this in order to achieve my dream and my goal. So I know like horses are expensive. So if I want to be able to not only afford my horses, but also be able to save, I'm going to have to work this, this, this many hours in order to provide that for myself. So it also, like it was kind of hard with myself as well, because I already built a business, like my lash business, and my clients expect me to still be able to give them fills and everything. And I don't want to lose my clientele I worked so hard to build up and then lose it because I am too tired. Right. So you just kind of got to persevere and know what you want your end goals to be and to plan out your days really well. Like I would take off Mondays because I know that's barrel night. And I'm like, that is my night. So I have Saturday, Sunday and Monday off. That was my only time off. Sometimes I still work Saturdays. But yeah, so that was kind of my little thing. And
you took those days off just from like doubling up and going to the salon lashing, you mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you're still going to school.
Yeah. Still going to school. And then I'd still be coming to podcast. So yeah, just have your end goals in mind. And when you have that, that's going to put the fire under your butt to like keep going.
Mm-hmm. And Casey would like to know some tips on taking some good photos.
Okay. We're going to have a little quick crash course here on pictures. Okay. So you want to have your chin up, a little bit, not too much.
No double chin.
But you got to think tall and lean. Like, not that that's ideal, but in pictures, that's what you like kind of want to like, you want to see the angles, right? So if even if I'm on my side profile, I make sure my chin is up a little bit and out a little bit. Like, you want to have that elongated look, especially because in pictures it's easy for like looking a little bit slouchy or whatnot.
Yeah.
You want to have your shoulders back. You want to have, like, the worst part of like a picture can be ruined from someone's elbow. Like, I am that picky about pictures. So you need to have, like, no one wants to see your hot dog arm straight out and then a crumbly little elbow. Like, you want to have your elbow just slightly bent in like a natural position. Legs can be weird. So I usually try to like have like a hip out or something, but not just a little bit, just slightly. And then kind of like push my butt back a little bit just so that there's my legs look just like a little bit skinnier. Not that that's ideal. That's just how I like myself to look. The face is the hardest part. Chibi's laughing. Definitely the hardest part. When I take a picture, I don't know if you guys watched America's Next Top Model, but smizing is everything. Like, Tyra Banks. Like, so you kind of start off as smiling and then you keep your eyes the same, but you lose the smile if you want to take a more serious picture. But if you want to smile, I don't know, I guess I'm not confident with my teeth, so I don't smile too much with my teeth, but I smile like...
I can't smile with my mouth closed.
No. I know, I do like a weird crooked, it looks like so one, bad. One corner of my mouth goes up and one goes down. It's like,
whatever, like, you're comfortable like, with.
Oh, well, I can't.
Well, yeah. What brought our pictures to the next level today here?
Yeah.
My lights that
Your
I brought.
Lashing light.
My lashing. I brought my lashing light. So yeah. Good lighting is a must and makeup is a must. And I know like when I go to a photo shoot, sometimes I look like a cake. Like, it is on there. But you want to have, like, your cheeks, your cheekbones, and we want to cut through glass. Like, you want them to be sharp. Because in a photo, they're not going to show up as crazy and dramatic as it is in person.
Yes, it's true.
So those are just a couple of tips that I have for pictures.
Go hard on the blush and bronzer because it will never look quite as dramatic.
That bronzer is everything.
So. Go more extreme than you think.
Yes.
And you'll be perfect.
So, Katira also has a question for you, Steffi. She wants to know what you do for work.
So, I guess, like, my main job, we are Pioneer reps, which I would like to say that I do probably 90% of that with me and Brendan. So, we are our local Pioneer seed reps. So, Pioneer has been producing corn seed since 1908, I believe. But up here in our neck of the woods, we primarily sell canola. So, I am a salesperson in the agricultural industry primarily, and then I do a lot of bookkeeping for, I guess I do technically four different sets of books. I do.
That's a lot.
Three different sets of farm books and then
ours.
And then our horse poor books I just did the other day, but I put a whole year's worth in within like a few hours, so that wasn't so bad if I just put the receipts in as I get them.
I suck at keeping my receipts.
Yeah, like I'm missing all Nadine's receipts. So yeah. You should probably bring me
did
those.
Did you have you to should... do school for bookkeeping?
I didn't, but my mother-in-law is like really business savvy. Mm-hmm. Like, so they have a good size farm and oil field operation that, you know, for 20 years when like things were booming up here, like that was busy. They had a lot of employees. And she had to be really diligent in the office with the payroll and with all that stuff has been audited numerous times. And honestly, working with her the last 5 years has taught me so much. Like, I know how to run a business. I know how to set a business up. I know about insurance. I know about all the safety stuff, payroll. Like, I can do all the paperwork required to get all the books ready for a company to go to the accountant and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't love it, but it is an excellent life skill to have just to know how to deal with, you know, Canada Revenue, taxes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I do owe a lot to her for teaching me all that stuff that I will definitely carry forward.
Cool.
And yeah, that's what keeps me busy every day.
You are a busy lady.
Horses and podcasting. I do commit quite a bit of my life to that too, but yeah, no, I do definitely keep busy working as well.
Mm-hmm. So we did already touch on this, but Casey wanted to know about your bits.
Yes. Oh, geez. What else do I have to add? I just like playing around a lot, I guess. I think everyone's got to do that. Like I know Megan says that She's like, I've just never liked writing in gag bits. Like, I don't find, you know, like I've never loved them. And I think that it's true that we kind of find bits that we like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you like your gag bits.
I kind of like my gag bits, you know, so you kind of just have to play around to see what works for you
and your hands
and your hands and your horse. And I bet you'll find some like common denominators there that you kind of always end up going back to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me don't too. Be afraid to play around with them.
What's the worst that's going to happen? You get bucked off, break a hip.
You shouldn't.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. So we had a listener question for all of us. So Amazing Blazing Jet, she wanted to know what our most memorable run was. Mine was definitely when I won my first rodeo buckle. I remember.
Where was that?
That was a Newbrook rodeo. And there was a really, really good competition there. And it was a standard pattern. And everyone, because it was a muddy outdoor pen, everyone was running like low 18s, mid 18s. And we ran a 17.8 in a old or in a big old muddy like rodeo arena.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool. I'll have to show you guys a video. Like, he didn't look like he was fast, but he's just so smooth and efficient. That was my rodeo horse in every barrel that we won that, and I cried the whole way home.
I think you might have maybe sent it to like the Ride Tribe group chat. Yeah, you have like blonde hair.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That might have been a couple of years ago or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I won that one, and then I placed second by like by 0.1 of a second in the second rodeo in Smoky Lake the next day. So that was cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. I've yet to get one of those rodeo wins.
They are. That's a memorable one. Yeah.
Maybe 2021.
Yeah.
What about you, Stevie? Have a memorable run?
I think I've said this before, but yeah. I think it would be my run on Joe at the Northlands Barrel Race.
Yeah, or
the Northlands Futurity.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It was like, it was one of our first actual competitive runs.
Yeah.
I think we'd gone to a couple before that, other than those loony barrel races at Donna's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I loved that one. It was just a lot of fun. And I was just proud of how Joe did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How she handled it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Steffi.
Oh, most memorable run, you guys.
Remember your run at Teepee when you had like it was this year, you ran like a 17 or 15.8 or 15.7 or something. Like you killed it. Like you rode. Like I remember because I recorded your run, I watched you ride and I was like, Steph needs to ride like that every single time. And you ran a 15.7 in there.
I don't think I was there for that one.
It was so good. And then you also placed at High Prairie. That's a really memorable run as well.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that one. Yeah.
I love how we're like, we know your favorite. You're good, right?
Yeah. You're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. The High Prairie WRA. Yeah. That would have been like my highest placing rodeo run, I guess, because I got third there and that was fun.
Yeah.
She like got real close to the first barrel and like shaved off some time there.
Yeah.
It was cool. That was a really good run.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was beautiful.
They're all fun. All the runs are fun. It's hard to pick the most memorable and favorite one.
Oh, boy. So she also wanted to know what our dream horse color would be and breeding. So mine clearly would be a leopard Appaloosa.
Yeah. We all know that.
Yeah. And bloodline wise, it's so hard because they're all so freaking nice. Like, I don't know, I'm becoming to be a super big fan of the Preppies Last, but if I were to pick something, it'd be like a Corona Cartel or Firewater Flit. Those are cool. Firewater on the Rocks. Like,
Yeah. I've been liking the looks of those ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same. I don't know. There's so many nice ones. Like, there's I need to have this one and that's it. Like,
well, just eliminate everything. She's just asking the question.
Color, anything other than a bay. I'm not a big bay fan, and breeding wise,
but you have a bay 3-year-old.
I do, and I really
that
like
you
him.
Love very much.
Yeah, but your mom loves bays.
Yeah,
Cindy loves
bays. That's her favorite.
Yeah,
I had a really cranky bay mare once that bucked me off, know if she bucked me off, but she bucked all the time.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I think that's why I don't like bays.
Put a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah. But breeding wise, one day I want to breed to Epic Leader and keep that horse.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Epic leader and maybe, I don't know.
Maybe out of a Frenchman guy mayor.
One of my mayors. Maybe a Frenchman guy mayor.
That'd be a crazy mayor.
That'd be all right.
Yeah.
Or didn't Christy tell us that on Frenchman guy, yes, that was one of the number one crosses?
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't mind trying out a perfect possibility mayor with epic leader.
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That'd be super
Steph,
cool.
What is your ideal horse color / just pick a breeding?
Well, we all know I like a little color. So, yeah, I think I said this before, but yeah, a Bayrone filly by the Goodbye Lane out of A Streak of Flame Mare.
Sick.
Yeah. Oh,
that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
That would be like my ultimate dream. I don't think there's very many of those out there. No. I haven't seen them.
No.
I haven't seen very many of them.
Mm-hmm. No.
That I really like the looks of that. Yeah. There was a Strawberry Roan Streak of Fling filly that went through the BFA sale.
Mm-hmm.
And she was out of a Firewater on the Rocks daughter. So she had some really cool bloodlines and color and filly, of course. But yeah, I think she went for like 20 or 22 USD.
USD.
Oh, yep. Boy.
So like 30 Canadian.
Yikes.
Yeah.
She was pretty.
So one of our listeners said she is scared to go try rodeos and events by herself. How do you deal with the stress and thinking things that will go wrong?
That is the story of my life. I'm planning weeks before. How am I going to get there? Where am I going to park? I need to get there before everyone else so that I know where to go.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, if you can go into an arena and clock faster than your last personal best time, that's all that matters. It's not an easy thing to do. So if, you go there and who cares what you're hauling, who cares what kind of horse you have, as long as you're safe, you go out there and you're having fun, that's all that matters. That's why we do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Just focus on what your horse needs and what you need. And do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like all the legit competitors are just focused on their own game. Mm-hmm. Like they you guys are. Already said, like, nobody's going to be like, watching you where you're parking.
Yeah.
And anytime I've been to a rodeo and, say maybe somebody parked in a soft spot and they were stuck, because that happens a lot too, especially the last couple of years.
That happened to Shelby.
Yeah. Like everybody is honestly so helpful. It's it's like a big family. Like, maybe it takes a couple rodeos to, make those familiar face acquaintances, but it'll happen fast.
Look for someone with a Horsepower podcast hat and be like, hey, I listen. Yep.
Let's wanna some be friends.
Some common ground.
Your horse is so pretty. Remember?
Yeah.
One rule.
Yeah, use Nadine's advice.
That's my pickup line. Compliment you have a pretty horse. Yeah.
I think giving yourself enough time is a good tip too.
Yeah, giving yourself enough time, writing down a list of everything that you need.
Packing is what gives me the anxiety. So I dig that list comment.
Yeah.
I feel like if you are nervous about what you're going to do though, have you fully prepared yourself for going to a rodeo? Is your horse ready?
Yeah. Have you started at some jackpots?
Yes. Like if you have put in the work and you're like, okay, like I'm ready to do this, then believe in yourself
and just go have fun.
You're ready.
Yeah.
You can do it. If you're ready to pay those entry fees, then, and you've done all your drills and your homework and your horse is feeling good and you're feeling good, you're going to do good.
Just do it.
Do it.
Do it. Just do it.
We'll be proud of you.
One of our last listener questions is, how do you gain confidence on a horse, particularly a young horse? Sometimes I get so nervous when she bucks or balks. I'm not in general scared of her, but totally want to gain more confidence. She's the first young horse I've had and had no idea how testing it would be. Me, I would say get a little bit of help. Maybe you don't have to send your horse away for the month, but you've done a bit of research or you have somebody near you that could just help you virtually by, you telling them exactly what's going on or sending some videos or something. That would be great. If not, you could always consider getting some hands-on help too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But what do you guys do like as riders? Or?
Well, I've definitely been bucked off my fair share of times too. There's no shame in going back to groundwork. If you feel like your horse was put in a pressure situation that they weren't ready for, there's no shame in taking steps back and building that confidence. Do more trusting exercises. Do more sacking out. Maybe they got spooked. A great thing to know.
I guess it depends what the situation is. Yeah. How old the horse is, how much time it has had on it or with it.
I know a general idea to know if a horse is going to buck.
Sorry, she's talking about a young horse. She said young.
So a general good idea too is set up a jump. And have your horse saddled, put some sacking out things on it. Make that horse jump over that in a lunge. And that's going to make them, if they're going to buck, that's probably going to make them buck. That's a good indicator to know.
Hey, that's how I broke my arm, actually. I sent my little young colt over some jumps and then he kept jumping.
And you were on him? Okay, do this lunging.
Yeah, no, I was on.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Mine don't work for all horses, though.
If they're... No, I know.
I did so much of this when she was little. She bucked all the time when I would lunge her over.
How did you try flanking her?
No.
You should have flanked her.
But she would never. She was really good when I'm on her back, but I think she just got so sick of groundwork that she's like, why the crap am I doing this?
I would like to have seen you flank her. See what she would have done.
So what's kind of your emergency stop there? Something. Me? Okay. Yeah.
When I'm on them?
Yeah, and maybe something's getting a little sideways or you sense it.
Yeah, because I do have a few. I don't know if it's the horses or I just bring out the buck in them, but no, I think it's the horses because it's just both of my Lightning brand mares. Mm-hmm. Not saying they're bad. I love them, but... Whenever I get a young horse, I'm like, okay, they need to, as soon as I... They need to be super soft. As soon as I bring their nose around, mm-hmm. they're going to, they'll swing out their hip and just, you know, they'll come right to me mm-hmm. because that is my lifesaver. As soon as I feel any kind of a bronc coming on, I do that. And then I can ride them out of it. I'll take them in small circles both ways, make sure they're listening to me again, mm-hmm. and then I'll go back to what I was doing.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. having that emergency stop. Because you can pull as much as you want on their mouth. A horse is stronger than you. They'll run through the bit.
Yeah.
So you really want to, I guess Mel says, engage their hind end or disengage, depending on what you want to mm-hmm. say, and bring them around because then mm-hmm. that forces them to turn and break what they're doing.
Yeah.
A horse can't buck while they're...
I'm not one to just ride them out of it because I don't want to get bucked off. And I'm if I do that, I get them listening to me and then I go back. Like if I was going for a lope and they started bucking, I'll do that and then I'll go right back into the lope.
Mm-hmm. Do you kind of give them a little bit? Are you giving them heck? Like are you giving them a little bit?
Pay attention to me. Like
ice broom.
Do not. Yeah. Like I won't let them do that. Yeah.
Do a few
and then,
circles.
And then I won't just you don't just stop then. Like you'll go right back into what you're doing. And if they do it nice, okay, then you relax your hands, give them a loose rein, and I'll just lope them around on a loose rein. Mm-hmm. Let them relax.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is a nice place to be in the lope.
Yeah, and I find, with my two mares, when they do buck, I mean, KJo's over it. She's matured now, but with D, if she does buck, usually it's because I've asked too much of her, and she's getting pressured up. So then, yeah, I'll do that, and then the next couple of times... I ride her the next time I ride her, I'll do lots of loose rein stuff mm-hmm. and I won't really, I'll just be like, Kate, let's relax again. And then I'll slowly add what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you have that emergency thing, that helps your confidence.
Do not get on your horse unless they're soft. And even soft in the halter, soft in the bit, soft in their flexions.
Because if you don't have that and they go to bucking,
you got nothing.
You're gone.
She gone.
Or maybe, I don't know if you have it handy, but just getting real confident in a round pen or a smaller mm-hmm. pen first two before going out.
Yeah.
If the balking's happening outside the fence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Round pens.
One thing with balking I wanted to say, I had this... trouble with both of my young ones when I got them back. Like they're young, right? My one D, I was riding her. I don't know if it was the first time out in my arena, and I went by the fence, and there was dry grass, and she kicked some sand into the dry grass, mm-hmm. and she spooked and like went straight to bucking. Mm-hmm. And so with her, then if I seen anything she was looking at, and same with Fame, because he would get really spooked. Like, he would not want to go near anything. Like, as soon as I noticed they're spooked of something, like, I'd bring their nose around and pet them and just give them some confidence. Like, but I mm-hmm. instilled that in them before, like, even bring their head around and cuddle them, you know?
Yeah.
And get them to where they know, okay, you're petting me. Like, I'm safe. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, when they get in that situation and you do that, it's a comfort thing. And they're like, okay. And so now with Ooh, D, yeah. And now with D, like, after a month of that, I didn't ever have to worry. Like, if something spooked her, she'd be like, okay, we can go check that out because I know I'm going to be safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't forget to breathe and don't forget to talk to your horse.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to talk to them.
Yeah.
I noticed a big difference. Like, even on the ground, you know, you talk to them when you're approaching them mm-hmm. and it totally changes their vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're babies. Like, mm-hmm. you can't expect them just to be tough.
Mm-hmm. Or to trust you right off the bat.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to instill that in them.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to get into like maybe a quick couple points of personal growth we think that we've gotten done. I loved your point that you sent us in the group chat, how you didn't think you would be putting on fake lashes. And
yeah. Yes, guys. I've never done that before this podcast.
Yeah.
I think Nadine strapped them on me once.
I did strap them on.
Yeah. Super glued them back.
Super glued
them. Gorilla glued.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all gotten a lot more comfortable on the mic too. Mm-hmm. And
on the mic. That's a thing, hey? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we've had some people on that are very like casual and chatty. And then you're like, okay, we're recording, you know, whether it be on the phone or in person. And it's almost like automatically nervous. And, and I think like our first couple times we pressed record, we were like,
psych, we don't want to record.
Like, what are we talking about?
How
do we
do this? What's my name? I'm still always nervous, like when it's at the beginning, okay, it's Steph's turn, let's ask her questions. Really? And I just literally freeze up. Like, I was telling
but I
these
think you've
girls
came a long ways.
I got stage fright when I was little, like legit ran off the stage and puked.
Oh no.
So, and I still, but that's just something that I always struggle with.
Have you ever puked before the Horsepower podcast?
No.
Okay. That's good.
Because there's not people watching me. Like, when
when we do a live show one day.
Yeah, then maybe I will puke.
We had half a live show with Riley.
Yeah.
We did.
You just kind of zone everything out, though. And just
you do. You're so focused on the conversation. Nothing else really matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been really cool, like going into the warm up pen and like someone saying, "Oh, I love the show," or mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. yeah, seeing horse stuff in the crowd and stuff. Like, I don't know, that's all.
Yeah,
all pretty cool and confidence building for us for sure to know that we should keep going with the show.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, we've learned so much from our guests.
So much.
Yes.
I really do love the spending time with them and getting to know them better.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely been a learning experience and so
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing, like something I've learned is not to wait until you're completely ready for something before doing it. Honestly, with this podcast, like we just jumped right in. And if I would have had it my way, the way I normally do things, it's like, okay, I would have been planning for at least a year. I would have needed to know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
yeah,
you gotta go make mistakes, right?
You gotta just dive in. Yeah. Glad we did it.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So then what are our goals with the podcast for 2021?
Make some money.
We want to monetize this. My goal for us is, since we hit like 63,000 listeners in 1 year, I want to hit 175,000 listens this next year.
Okay, deal.
Ooh,
I think we can reach it. What we just need we need 110,000 more, 114 or something thousand more. It's too late right now. Oh, it's like midnight.
Yeah,
we can do it. I feel like that's a good goal. It'd be really cool if we could. We are talking about doing a horse poor barrel race maybe one day.
It'd be cool to have some kind of horse poor event, whether it be like a barrel race slash clinic or like a clinic social yeah. or something. I don't know.
Yeah, even like a little like appy or snack thing, and then doing like maybe like a live show with someone where we just have some people in the crowd that want to ask questions, and we can all put that on the podcast and like have a learning night.
Like Steph's a woman, like no, getting ready to puke already.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be really cool
this
to have. Like,
never
a learning.
Needs to come. I guess
you can call in sick with a baby that day.
Yeah, guys, how's that gonna look?
I don't. You tell us, man.
I guess, hey, it's gonna be different.
Don't lose Stevie.
If you come off the wagon, then me and Steph have to fall down too.
There might be some crying in our future episodes, you guys. Like not me.
I'm
or
gonna
baby.
Need
or you falling both. Asleep in the middle of an episode.
Yeah, oh, yeah that'll be goodness. Interesting. That's another thing we'll yeah. have to learn is how to. How to navigate the pod with a baby, or yeah. if we will navigate the pod with a baby.
We will.
We will?
We will.
Yeah, we will.
Yay.
It'll be an adventure for
it'll
sure.
It'll be different.
Yeah.
I still don't believe it's real yet, but.
Oh, it's starting to look a little real.
It's looking real, but it's still like.
Yeah, you got a belly. Now it looks a lot more than a bag of chips or a turkey dinner belly.
Yeah.
More than just a baby belly. Yeah. I mean, a food baby.
It's a baby belly. Oh man.
I think another goal would be to keep producing some top mm-hmm. quality merchandise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of t-shirts. So we need to sell those t-shirts and
before we can buy more. So.
Yes. Get us t-shirts.
On, t-shirt sale really coming up.
Yeah.
Yes. Legit.
Seriously.
Yeah, we learned things are like a little more in season. So like before yeah. CBHI, we should purchase a lot of hoodies.
Yes. Crew necks, long sleeves.
Yes. Yes.
But when are we doing our sale for Boxing Day?
I think we're going to do like a Boxing Day sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to have a Boxing Day sale. So hopefully, yeah.
And it's going to be a good sale.
It is going to be a good sale. But yeah, the more that we can get you guys to support us in that department, the more we can grow the show and continue to do this. So yeah, definitely. All your support
and we
is appreciated.
Have lots of cool shirt and hoodie designs. Ideas I mean.
We do. So we're going to end off this podcast in the most corny way that we can, of course. But we do want to wish you guys all a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. And you guys will hear from us in the new year. I don't think we're going to release anything over Christmas. So
take
yeah.
a little break.
We're going to take a little break, a much needed
break. Give us some, mm-hmm. Podcast editing, photo editing, and social media.
Time to relax time and get off. New ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... Yeah, so thank you guys again for your support and
get rich or ride trying.